Awesome, church body. Well, my name is Nick Spazowski. If you don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here, and I have the pleasure of introducing our speaker today. And New Life is a pastor, elder, we use those two terms interchangeably, led church. Means we're responsible for the governance, the teaching, the shepherding of this local body of believers. And as part of that, we exercise our authority by sometimes, from time to time, inviting non-elders to speak and to share with you. And usually that's as we thought through and looked through the sermons and the upcoming in the series, we feel like maybe it would really bless the church to hear from this particular individual. And so today you're going to hear from someone that this topic today, I wouldn't necessarily say they're an expert at it, but that they've grown tremendously in it. They've exhibited tremendous humility and repentance in this area. And we thought it would really bless the church for you to hear from Ryan Bondi today. So please welcome up Ryan.
Oh, that's great. Set the expectations low. Morning, everyone. Thanks for having me. Yes, I'm Ryan, longtime listener, first-time preacher. I'm normally the announcements guy, but yeah, this week we are changing things up. Next week I might be leading worship. Who knows? Nobody wants that. Okay, so something to know about me, in fact, if you do know me, you probably already know this about me, is that I am a big Marvel fan. Which that is pretty cool. That's from like a Marvel show. I actually own the first comic. It was my first favorite comic book. And anyways, I'm so much a fan of Marvel, specifically Spider-Man, that when people knew I was going to have a baby boy, they would ask, oh, are you going to name him Peter Parker? And I said, no, that would be ridiculous. We named him Jace Parker. Now, the traditional meaning of the name Parker is park keeper, but that isn't what it meant to us. We made his middle name Parker because with great power, close. You're quoting the movie from 2002, which is totally fair. I understand that, but that isn't the original quote. Fun fact, in the first Spider-Man comic from 1962, it says that with great power, there must also come great responsibility. With great power, there must also come great responsibility. I believe my son will have great power, and not necessarily like this incredible power by the world standard, but he will have incredible power to impact the world around him just by being a person. And we wanted to bless him with a call to take responsibility for that power he has been given. And our passage today talks about this very thing. That's right. Our passage today, in my opinion, is about great power, and that with great power, there must also come great responsibility. But first, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the privilege it is to gather together. Lord, would you make room in our hearts and minds this morning to hear from you? Lord, would you speak to us individually? Would you speak to us as a body and a family? Would you help us to obey you and what you speak to us and help one another to do so? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So this sermon series, we are exploring the question, what if? And today, what if we could tame our tongue? All right, listen, yes, like Nick said, this is one of those sermons where you get asked to give it not because you're great at it, but because if you're talking about it, maybe people will listen to you because they're like, well, at least I can do better than this guy. Okay, I kid you not, I'm working on this talk last week. My wife, Becky, and my two kids, Jace is three, Valerie's one, they get home. And Becky said something totally innocent to me about her desire for the lawn to get mowed, but I felt frustrated at the time, and I responded less innocently than someone working on a sermon about taming the tongue should. So literally sitting on my laptop right in front of me. So my tone came off a little different than normal, okay, a little frustrated, and my son Jace, 3 years old, noticed that, walks right up to me and says, Dada, Dada, take a deep breath. Then he turns and goes to my wife, Becky, Mama, Mama, take a deep breath. It's too perfect. I was like, can he give the talk? Let's take a deep breath and get into scripture this morning. We're in James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers. Honestly, there's too many jokes for me to, I couldn't pick. All right, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers. because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. James, take a deep breath. Okay, that's super intense. That's really intense language, James. But he's using that to point out to us the immense power we have with our tongue, with our speech. You've witnessed this. When someone has said something with a loud or bitter tone, trying to bulldoze the room with their volume, and it feels like the air has been sucked out of the room. And you've also seen when people try to control the room more strategically by knowing the exact subtle comment to say to get someone to feel bad, to lay on the passive aggressiveness just the right amount. Our speech has the power to affect a room. And if you ever had a moment where you said something that you wish you could take back, maybe it was something that damaged a friendship or a relationship with a family member or boss or coworker, or maybe you said something that made you look bad in front of someone that you felt embarrassed by, our speech has the power to affect relationships. Or you might look back on moments in your life and wonder, what if I said this instead? You might ruminate on an instance and replay it over and over, wondering what might have happened differently if you had said something else. Or you might look ahead to an interview or a date and wonder, what if I say this or that? We have this implicit understanding that what we say matters. Our speech has the power to affect outcomes. My daughter is starting to learn the power of her speech recently. She's one, and she's learning that if she makes a loud enough noise, she'll command the room's attention. Cute for a little bit. She's learned from her older brother that she can voice her opinion and things change. Problem is she doesn't have the words to communicate exactly what she wants, but she can point and yell, and we have to figure out what she wants and probably give it to her pretty quickly to get her to stop yelling. She's learning about this power she has, and we have great power with our speech. A side note, there's also power in not speaking too. You might find the power of your speech crippling and risky, and you might err on not speaking out of fear. And yet we can sin with our passiveness in this way as well. Or we can even weaponize our silence to try to get our way. I've said many things that have hurt my family, but one time I hurt my son with my silence. He wasn't listening to my wife, Becky, and that was frustrating me. And I just walked in the room, and I didn't yell because that would have been bad. So I just glared at him. And it was just my eyes. But you can bet I communicated something to him. He teared up instantly and ran away from me. Later he said to me, "Dada, you had angry eyes." We know that we can use our speech or our silence to try to control a room or control a relationship or control an outcome to get what we want. Hey, my son stopped disobeying us right then and there. It worked. But at what cost? Was it worth it? How much of our sinful speech or strategic silence is because we're using our power to try to control an outcome, to try to control others? We can try to manipulate what others think of us with a lie, or by telling a story that makes us look good, or try to get someone to like us by putting down someone else, yelling at a child to get them to listen, or a spouse or a parent, arguing with coworkers to do things how we want them to be done, or speaking to roommates in a way to get them to take care of that thing in the apartment. With our great power, we need to be more concerned with controlling ourselves than concerned with controlling others. We need to focus more on trying to tame our tongue than trying to tame other people. If we use our power to try to control other people, we will hurt and wound people. And the best case scenario, if we're lucky, is they won't realize they're being hurt. But they are. And those unhealthy relational patterns will build and come to a breaking point, death by a thousand paper cuts. That little fire will surely grow into a destructive force. We need to take responsibility for ourselves and tame our own tongue and not try to tame other people. All right, with our speech, this great power, there must also come great responsibility. Okay, so how do we take responsibility? How do we tame our tongue? All right, James, verses 7 and 8. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Okay, then. I feel stuck. Do you? What if we could tame our tongue? That's an easy one. We can't. Impossible. Like, we can control animals and a lot of different kinds of animals at that, but we can't control ourselves? What do we do with that? All right, can I be honest? I knew I was going to be talking about this passage for like a month, and I've tried to practice what I was going to preach about, and can I just say James tells no lies? I just can't do this perfectly, not even close. I've been hurtful with my speech. It doesn't feel good. It isn't good. And James agrees. Let's continue in verse 9. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. James is likely remembering when he heard Jesus teaching something similar in Matthew chapter 12. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus is pointing out that this is not a speaking problem. This is a heart problem. Like, think about it. Even if you tame your tongue enough to not say something unloving, there's still the problem of the heart that was unloving. We all have a sin problem. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's perfect standard. That's just the lay of the land. The Bible is clear about that. Our lives are clear about that, if we're honest. There are three ways I want to offer to take responsibility for our speech, and the first one is this. If you haven't decided to follow Jesus yet, repent and believe the gospel and follow Jesus. What does this look like? What does that mean? We need to take responsibility for the fact that we have been given great power, and we have used that to hurt people and curse people who bear God's very image. No matter how hard we try, we cannot fix our own hearts and become perfect. We fall short. In this way, we're actually powerless. We need someone else who has even more power than us to take responsibility to save us from our sin, from ourselves. And this is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus is the perfect image of God, who deserved no cursing, yet he let himself be cursed by mankind, by us, so that we can have eternal life with him. If we declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead after he died in our place to take responsibility for the punishment we deserve for the destruction we reap with our sin. Jesus, with his great power, chose to take responsibility for your sin by dying on the cross. Rethink your life and trust in him and not yourself. If you don't take responsibility for your heart problem, your sin problem, and your need for Jesus like this, you're turning a blind eye to your own faults and brokenness, believing that the problems in the world don't exist within you in any way. The result of that will be broken relationships with people around you and a broken relationship with God himself. That's like me saying to my son, I'm not at fault here. It was your fault I'm acting this way. He deserves it if he acts like that. I don't have a problem. He's the problem. You know that's evil and untrue just hearing it. The sinfulness of the world and those around us doesn't make our sinfulness okay. We need to take responsibility for our own heart problem. So if you have not made the decision to follow Jesus, this is the first step in how you take responsibility. Take responsibility for your sin. Take responsibility for your sin that it has a cost that you need saving because you can't control yourself. And then give that to the one who has the power to do something about it, Jesus. He alone can save you by taking responsibility for your sin on the cross. This is the gospel. He did that for you and is just waiting for you to take responsibility for your need for him and accept the gift of salvation, and he will change your heart. That is a good deal. What are you waiting for? Okay, a second way we can take responsibility for our speech. Now, if you follow Jesus, that means Jesus forgives you for the destruction you've caused and will cause with your speech, but even more, God wants to teach you how to use your power for good. The character of Christ is our aim. When you choose to follow Jesus, you are gifted with the Holy Spirit, who is God personally present within you. He brings conviction about sin in your life and the power to do something about it. So own the fact that you have the great power of the Holy Spirit and the great responsibility to be more like Jesus and ask the Lord, how are you calling me to tame my tongue? We are meant to live differently. It should not be that we both praise God and curse others out of the same mouth. So how is God trying to get your attention? How is he calling you to tame your tongue? What interactions in your life aren't going well? Is it how you talk to your family, your kids, or your friends, a particular friend, or your coworkers? Do you complain quickly at home or at work? Do you talk about others when they aren't around or enjoy making inappropriate jokes? Are you often bitter or impatient? And if you think whatever is going on in your life is someone else's fault, are you responding in a holy way? People treated Jesus unjustly, but he responded without sin, and we are called to likewise. Once you take time to consider how God is calling you to tame your tongue, do something about it. If you start following Jesus and then don't take responsibility to grow by obeying him, it's an incredible way to be a terrible witness to the way of Jesus. I've had conversations with people like in the last 2 months considering if they want to follow Jesus, and they're confused about what the big deal is about following Jesus when they know people who are Christians but act the same way in life as everyone else. It's costly to not take responsibility. And don't be afraid to ask others for help. Listen, I'm often feeling bitter and frustrated in life, and I've learned this because I'm ultimately disappointed and sad about something. So one summer, I asked my housemates, hey, if you hear me in a bad mood, just ask me what I'm sad about so I can process that and get out of it and not settle for bitterness. Ask the Lord in this season how he's calling you to tame your tongue and then take responsibility after hearing to then obey him and ask others for help. All right, the last way to take responsibility for our speech. Now, if you've taken responsibility for your need of a savior and you're a follower of Jesus and you spend time hearing from God and how he's calling you to tame your tongue, and you take responsibility to do something about it, we still can't stop ourselves from sinning. Womp womp. We still fall short. Now, that's okay in a sense because our hope is not in not sinning. Our hope is in Jesus. If your goal is to stop sinning, I'm sorry, it's not going to work. You will still make mistakes, and Jesus will even point out to you things you didn't even see before that need to change. But even though we cannot totally tame our tongue, we can take responsibility by saying sorry when we fail. Even though we cannot totally tame our tongue, we can take responsibility by saying we are sorry when we fail. This is how practical I can make it for you this week. Apologize for something you say this week. Apologize for something you say this week. Or maybe apologize for something you didn't say, a time you were strategically silent. It can feel awkward, but I can tell you I've apologized to at least 4 people this week so I could live this out too. It'll get easier the more I do it. Same for you. Heck, there might be something today you can already apologize for. If not, don't worry, probably something soon. And that's okay. We're living out the gospel when we apologize. Apologize for something you say this week. And let's keep doing that together. In my second paternity leave, I had a particularly rough night. My daughter was a newborn, and I remember finally getting Jace down for bed after some tough interactions. I remember my head hitting my pillow and thinking, well, that did not feel good. I was exhausted and hadn't been responding well to my family. Now, I didn't have like a big blow up or anything, but it still wasn't good. But it also wasn't so bad that Becky was going to say anything to me about it. I knew in my spirit it wasn't a good night, yet I wasn't going to face any immediate consequence for it from my family. I was speaking to my family in a way that was not good, but it was passable. And I was like, okay, this day was not good. Is this what my life is going to be like now, night after night? Then I thought about how 20 years of passable nights like that would affect my marriage, my kids, the person I would become. I realized in that moment I had to choose. Would I live by the standard of taming my tongue just enough to be passable? The Lord convicted me that I didn't want to live that way. I needed to take great responsibility to not settle for the character I had and to be committed to doing better to love my family with my speech by listening to God as he pointed out how I was falling short when no one else was pointing that out to me. To trust the Spirit's conviction in me when things I say aren't sitting well with me, apologizing even when an apology isn't asked for. What if we as a church did this? What if we apologized and forgave one another and lived at peace? Not just avoiding conflict and only apologizing if someone confronts us, but taking great responsibility for our speech and using our power to bless those around us and not curse one another, no matter how small. Owning our sin and apologizing to one another shows people that sin is real and has a cost that needs paying. And then forgiving each other as Jesus forgave us, that demonstrates the grace of the gospel to those around us. So, church, we too have a choice. We could be a church of people who settle by avoiding doing too bad of things and seeking to be passable as a community. Or what if we were a church of people who spent time hearing from God and obeying him and how he wants to grow us in our speech? And what if we take note of when we say something we shouldn't and then apologize for it? We would be living with authentic relationships as our way of life, demonstrating the gospel to each other and those around us. My son doesn't need me to be perfect, but he can tell what is unloving. And he needs me to take responsibility when I don't use the power I have for good. I'm tempted to think if I apologize to him so much that I'll just point out I'm a bad dad. But that's kind of the truth. I need Jesus. And I hope my apologizing will demonstrate to him how we all make mistakes and fall short and need forgiveness and a Savior. I hope that it'll help him recognize that he needs forgiveness for things too, and that that would prepare his heart for Jesus someday. And if we did this as a church, if we sought to obey Jesus and how he's calling us to tame our tongue and apologize for when we fail to do so, I believe people around us will see that sin has a cost that needs paying, and their hearts might be more prepared for Jesus someday too. What we say has the power to destroy, but it also has the power to build one another up in love and the power to bring reconciliation. Brothers and sisters, with our great power, let's also take great responsibility. Let's pray. Lord, what a wild thing it is that you have given us so much capacity to affect one another. Lord, we apologize to you first for how we have fallen short, for how we have used what you have given us for our own selfish gain, hurting people around us, cursing those that you want us to bless. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that although we've fallen short and we've turned away from you, you came here for us And you spoke in ways that revealed life and built people up. May we follow you and do likewise together. And pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.